Chapter 3. Immaterium. Subservius. Aboard the Adeptus Mechanicus ship, there was stalemate.
"Out of the question, Captain Corland," said Magos biologist Eldon Erquidex.
The tech priest's telescopic eyes lengthened an inch, the closest equivalent to a glare that the man could muster. Secondary tool appendages waved disapprovingly around his midriff.
"In the absence of data, the most obvious course of action is your transit to Terra, or perhaps Mars. You are, in no vacillating terms, the last of your chapter. Not only is your physical personage highly valued, both for physiological investigation and purposes of wider military morale, but your first-hand experiences of this latest Orcoid threat are invaluable. There is, to be clear, nobody else like you in the galaxy at this moment in time. To even consider returning you to a position of active combat duty would be reprehensible."
Corlin towered over the tech priest, even without his armor, and was quite capable of ripping apart his heavily augmented and cybertized adversary. But Erquidex stared up at the gigantic warrior without any sign of fear. Small digital tools flickered in and out of the tech priest's fingertips as Erquidex interlaced his hands across his barrel chest. Captain Corland turned back towards the viewport. Outside was a field of stars, the very edge of the system. In a day or two, they would reach the Mandeville Point and be clear for translation into warp space. The Space Marine's reflection was dark-skinned, almost blackened by the melanchromic reflex that had protected him from the radiation that had killed so many of his battle brothers.
"You must understand that I will not allow that to happen, Magos," Corland said heavily.
He laid a hand against the wall, fingers splayed, as if reaching out to the dead they were leaving behind.
"I am a Space Marine. It is my duty to fight." "It is your duty to serve the Emperor, Second Captain, and you can best do your duty by returning to the Sol system with us to divulge all intelligence you have gathered on the nature of this menace. In the longer term, that will be a far greater benefit to the Imperium you are sworn to protect."
"Logically, perhaps."
Corlin swung around to confront the tech priest.
"I would not expect you to understand the creed of the warrior born, the oath of the wall." "If such matters are illogical, as you say, then your assumption is correct, Second Captain."
Erquidex slumped slightly, his mechanical appendages drooping a little. A look approximating pity crossed what remained of his face, as though some more primitive biological part of the man-machine was now in control.
"Do not think me totally impervious to your predicament. Thousands of the machine god's servants have perished here, and millions more across many star systems. They gave their lives to improve our chances of victory at some future point. Unless we are to throw untold billions of lives at this problem and hope to defeat the Orcs' raw aggression with untamed barbarity of our own, we must learn to fight more intelligently. At the moment, we are outmatched on both accounts."
"What do you mean by that?"
Corlin crossed the small cell-like chamber and sat on the fold-down cot along one wall. It sagged under his weight, the reinforced braces creaking.
"Let me tell you, my brothers and I fought with courage, honor, and discipline. There was nothing we could do to match the power of the attack moon."
"My point exactly, Captain."
Erquidex paused as the door hissed open. Standing on the threshold was a mostly mechanical apparition which Corland at first took to be a servitor.
"Good evening, Captain Corland,"
said the thing, in a voice that had the thrum of artificial modulation, but was unmistakably that of Phaeton Laurentis.
"Emperor's throne," swore Corland, standing up. "What happened to you?"
The tech priest looked nothing like he had the first time Corland had met him. He now stepped through the doorway on a tripod of legs, his mechanical lower torso clanking and whirring with pistons in an effort to maintain balance. Most of Laurentis's upper body was covered with his robes, but beneath their thick layer were unnatural bulges and twists of hidden cables, jutting pipes, and trembling implants. His arms were double-articulated miniature cranes, tipped with quad-digit grabbing claws that clacked open and shut as Laurentis raised a hand in greeting. Nothing remained of his face, except for a small patch of flesh and one eye, which had been relocated to a central position. The rest was heavily riveted metal plates, speaker grills, and sensor cluster lenses and spines.
"My physique has undergone a number of repairs and upgrades. No cause for alarm."
"When I saw most of you splayed out on that examination gurney, I thought they would put you back together the way you had been."
"There were some very inefficient systems in that body," said Erquidex, before Laurentius could offer an opinion either way. "Magos Laurentius's newly adapted form is far better for the sort of tasks he will be performing."
"That sounds like a demotion,"
said Corland, sitting down again now that his surprise had subsided.
"Have you offended your superiors in some way, Tech Priest?"
"The offence is to the Machine God," said Laurentius. "I perhaps spoke out of turn concerning the actions of my fellow Technoliturgia during the Adamantua crisis. Only by thorough debriefing have I been allowed to continue in the role of Magos. However, this body and these duties of which my colleague speaks are not a punishment. Most of my flesh was destroyed, and many of my hard-lined systems corrupted. Fortunately, my core data store remained intact."
"If I understand it right, I have you to thank, what little it is worth, for my life."
"Gratitude is not required, Captain. I simply acted on a most illogical stimulus."
The construct man's head rotated strangely to regard Erquidex with a cluster of red lenses.
"I believe I have formulated a new axiom of research."
"Indeed," exclaimed the Magos biologist. "That would be unprecedented. Are you quite sure that your faculties remained intact following your violent interaction with the Orcoids?"
"It is called a battle, Magos, not a violent interaction. I know. I was involved in it."
Corland could not help but feel some amusement at the irony of this statement. It was Laurentius that had once called the Chrome's claws digital blades affixed to or articulated from forelimbs. Though his body had been rendered even more artificial and mechanical, Laurentius's personality seemed to have lurched towards the biological.
"This axiom, I am very proud of it," Laurentius continued. "Perhaps if it is adopted, it shall be named after me. And this is it. When all rational explanation has been exhausted, any explanation, no matter how irrational, must be the solution. Do you like it?"
"Nonsensical drivel of the highest order. It was exactly this unbecoming manner that brought censure from Magos van Auken."
"By all rational explanation, there were no survivors of Adamantua. Yet here you are, Captain."
Laurentius returned his attention to the Space Marine.
"My own recollection, somewhat hazily rendered by my damaged edit core processors, is of acting not out of any extant proof that you were alive, or indeed that there were any other survivors. Not as far as I was consciously aware. In my fragmentary state, I believe I happened upon a further stage of enlightenment concerning the artifices of a machine god. Through unconscious and subconscious deduction, I formed the illogical hypothesis that someone might be alive. My adjustment to the scanning parameters was equally unfounded by rational deduction."
"A guess," said Erquidex. "Random extrapolation of chaos. The machine god works in a convoluted manner, Laurentius, but if you believe that you are some new prophet of his artifice, I must disappoint you. Evidently you have suffered a deeper malfunction to your core centres than we believed." "A hunch," said Corland. He shook his head in disbelief. "A tech priest acted on an instinct. A hunch. It seems Adamantua was remarkable in one more respect."
"Quite so,"
said Laurentius. Two of his sensor antennae bent upwards in something that might have been an attempt at a smile.
"A hunch."
"It would be in your interest not to announce such a thing in the presence of Van Auken," said Erquidex. "He is already minded to have you core-stripped and data-mined for all information regarding the events at Adamantua. This heretical nonsense does no credit to your continued deterministic existence, Laurentius." "That will not happen," said Corland. "Though Magos Laurentius does not acknowledge his efforts, I do, and I am bound by my traditions to honour the debt I owe to him. There will be no punitive measures or investigations carried out. Do you understand?
It is not your place to interfere in an internal matter of the Adeptus Mechanicus, Captain. Your opinion in this matter is inconsequential. Despite his words, there was a note of equivocation in the tech priest's tone. Corland stood up, his head nearly brushing the ceiling of the recuperation cell. Without seeming to expend any effort at all, the Space Marine grabbed Urquidex's robes in a massive fist and lifted the Magos from the deck. Corlin turned so that Urquidex was pressed up against the yards-thick glass of the viewport. The Magos's mechadendrites and bionic limbs squirmed.
"Perhaps you will find floating in vacuum of no consequence, Magos," said the captain. "That will be your fate, should I learn of anything befalling Magos Laurentis. Equal unpleasantness will ensue for Van Auken or anyone else that acts against the interest of a Magos. Am I understood?"
Urquidex nodded. Corland lowered the tech priest and relinquished his grasp.
"Very well. You may leave now."
Without another word, Urquidex scuttled out of the room, head and appendages bobbing with disapproval. Corland watched the tech priest disappear down the corridor outside, and then sat down once the Magos had turned out of view. He realized that Laurentis was regarding him with a full suite of senses, his one remaining eye staring directly at the Space Marine.
"Interesting," said the tech priest.
"What is?"
"Though not intimately acquainted with every battle custom and facet of chapter orthodoxy concerning the Imperial Fists, my data files were significantly invested with relevant material before my association with your warriors began. I do not recall any specific blood debt traditions or requirements, the likes of which you appear to have invoked. That being the case, in absence of other evidence, I assume that you have taken it upon yourself to extend a protective oath in my favour for another reason. I am at a loss to explain what that reason might be."
Corland leaned forwards, thick forearms resting on his knees.
"Let's just call it a hunch."